started thinking about that song, and sometimes I get tired. Boy, I'm glad we can rest in Him.
Amen.
He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are laden, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm glad there's a place to rest tonight. And it's not just a place of rest, but it's a place of refreshing and a place of renewing. Jesus is all you need tonight. You pray for the preacher. Preacher, come pray for us tonight. You pray for him.
There we are.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I appreciate the singing tonight. You have a Bible with you. If you'd turn with us to the book of Exodus, chapter number 8. The book of Exodus, God's been good to you today, say
amen. Amen.
Jesus, keep the new cross.
Yes, sir.
Exodus chapter number 8, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, "Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me.
Yes.
If thou refuse to let them go, behold, I'll smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. The frog shall not come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants." The Lord spake unto Moses, "Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. The magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, I entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, thou mayest know that there's none like the Lord our God. The frogs shall depart from thee and from thy houses and from thy servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. When Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for the word of God tonight that's still real, still relevant in this day and this hour. I want to thank you for a place tonight that we can gather together from this old sin-sick world. Lord, I pray that you let the Word of God be challenging to my heart tonight.
Help us, God.
And to the people's heart as well. Lord, I know that You've raised this up in me, so I pray that You let preaching be easy tonight. God, I'll be careful to honor You. And thank You for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. I don't know if you noticed out of Exodus chapter 8, but here is the second plague that God had brought upon Pharaoh to let His children go. You see, God's always been interested in His children serving Him.
That's right.
Matter of fact, God had 10 plagues in store for Pharaoh. You don't hear much about the God of the Bible being the God of judgment nowadays. We hear a lot in the contemporary realm of things that everything's love and everything's okie-dokie. But I want to remind you tonight, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And so on the love side of God, God has another side. That's the side of judgment. Side of rebuke, side of authority, and God means what He's saying.
That's right.
Now, I was interested as I had read this passage on this second plague. There was something that really sparked my interest. Here, the Bible said in verse number 9, Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, or simply have honor over me, and direct me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the plagues or the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in thy river? And this was his phrase that I want to preach out of tonight. And he said, tomorrow. I want to preach on this simple subject this evening, on one more night with the frogs. One more night with the frogs. Now, in that sort of odd, that a man would be consumed with frogs and everything that he had, everything that he touched, everywhere he looked there was frogs. God sent him a preacher and said, would you have these frogs to be saved? And he said, I'm going to think about it, but I don't have my mind made up, so I'll do it tomorrow. I want to say tonight, I wonder tomorrow, would you wish you'd have made another decision tonight? And here within the realms of our Bible, by way of outline, I want to share with you tonight. First of all, there is a commission. A commission. We notice, first of all, that God had a mouthpiece. The Lord spake unto Moses. See, God knows some folks that He can say something to that they'll say it to others.
That's right.
You ought to thank God that you got a preacher at this church that'll tell you what God tells him to say.
Amen.
You don't need a hireling. You don't need a politician. You need a preacher.
Amen.
You need a man of God that'll rear back and preach out of a King James Bible.
Amen.
I don't know why some of you get upset with your preacher. He didn't write the Bible. He just reads out the Bible.
Amen.
And so here we see this mouthpiece for God, Moses. What a Bible character. I spoke of him last night a little bit, but oh, how we need some Moses that God can trust to tell the people what God is saying.
Yes, sir.
So there's a commission, there's a mouthpiece, but then look at verse 1, there is a mandate. He said, go unto him and say, go to Pharaoh. Go to the one in authority and power. It's something that I want to say to him. No, God used Elijah like that. He had him to go down to Ahab and Jezebel's house and told them, said, listen, God's going to turn your water off. So God's needing some men to stand up and tell the people of God what thus saith the word of the Lord. Can I tell you that would cure America tonight if we had some preachers that would rear back and thunder again and tell people what this book says.
Amen.
There was a commission. God came to Moses We see the mouthpiece. We see the mandate. But look in verse 1, there's a message. For he said, when you get there, you tell him, let my people go, that they may serve me. God's always been interested not only in saving people, but people to serve him.
Yes, sir.
I will say something tonight. If there was not a heaven, and there is a heaven, I'd serve God anyway.
That's right.
Because he's wonderful to serve, and there's nobody like serving God.
Amen.
There's nobody to wake up with like God, go to bed with like God. And let me tell you, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Amen.
But if it was not the street of gold, I'd live for God anyway.
Yes, sir.
Just for the boundaries that he's got up around my life.
Right.
I'm thankful tonight that I'm one of his. And so here we see this commission, the mouthpiece, the mandate, the message. You go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go that they may serve me. I want to ask you tonight, just as a country preacher, are you serving the Lord?
Amen.
Are you serving a man? Are you serving a system? Are you really serving the Lord? Tonight there is a commission. But then notice within the text, not only is there a commission, but there is a consequence. For he said in verse 2, if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. We shall come up into thine house, thy bedchamber, upon your bed, the house of the servants, upon the people, and thine ovens, and into the kneading trough. The consequences, you say, well, preacher, what about the consequences? I want to say something tonight real kind. God may not keep you from doing what you're going to do, but you won't keep God from doing what he's going to do.
That's right.
There's always consequences for disobeying the word of God.
Amen.
And so in these consequences, you'll notice that consequences, they come abrupt. Verse 2, he said, I will. And then in verse 3, you'll notice that consequences are abundant. For he simply said, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. In other words, it's going to be a bunch of them. And then, I want to say consequences are not only abrupt and abundant, but consequences are very abusive. Verse 3 said, they shall come, underline this, into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, upon thy beds, and watch this, and the house of thy servants, and upon thy people. I've heard people say this, well, preacher, leave me alone. I'm only bothering myself. That's a lie tonight.
Right.
Every decision that we make affects others.
Yes, sir.
The decisions that I make as pastor of Liberty Baptist Church, I'm affecting a multitude of people.
Right.
The decisions as I make as a husband tonight, I'm affecting my wife with my decision.
Right.
As a parent, the decisions that I make, I'm affecting my children and my grandchildren.
Yes, sir.
And tonight we see this commission, but we see these consequences. He said they would come abrupt, abundant, and abusive. But notice thirdly tonight, not only the commission and the consequences, but now in verse 6, notice the conflict. The conflict. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. There's no doubt that Moses had already went to Pharaoh and said, let the people of God go, or God's going to bring frogs out of the river all across this land. Pharaoh had a time, and he told him, he said, no, I want to stay one more night with these frogs. So now we see these conflicts, and verse number 6, they are numerous. The Bible said, Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up. They came up, yeah, they was in a bad place. They didn't come down from a good place. They come up from a bad place.
Yes, sir.
They tell you something, America's plagued with frogs tonight.
That's right.
There are a lot of families that I love, that I pastor this evening, but they're plagued with frogs.
Yes, sir, they are.
And so we see within this conflict, frogs are numerous. I don't know if any of you ever been around frogs or not. Maybe you city folks never been in the country, but not only are frogs numerous, but frogs are noisome.
Yeah.
You ever heard a frog croaking?
Bro. Bro. Bro.
You know what I notice when I sin against God and I disobey His Word? Everywhere I go, something hollers, says,
bro. Bro.
You see, isn't it amazing? These frogs not only were numerous, but they were noisy. I'm glad I serve God that won't let me lay down and go to sleep in sin by myself. God's given us all a conscience, and you can't go by your conscience all the time. Does the Bible say your conscience can become seared? America's conscience is seared.
Right.
She don't blush anymore tonight.
That's right. Amen.
God's people ought to have a heart and a spirit and a conscience that is tender. And when we do wrong and those frogs go croaking, I hate the sound of that frog.
Amen.
Those frogs in this conflict were numerous. These frogs were noisome. These frogs were very nauseating. Could you imagine? Could you imagine going to get your suit out for church, stick a handkerchief in, and a frog bounces out? Instead of your track in your pocket, you look in and a frog comes out. What about you go to cover tonight? You know, I'm really leery where I lay down at night in these motels. I get out my iPhone, cut the light on, pull the cover back, and I shine. Undo bedbugs, somebody say amen. Well, my wife's the world's worst. I mean, she's an inspector, boy, she. Could you imagine throwing that bedspread back, he said.
Yep.
Could you imagine going to the oven? You say, well, preacher, how in the world did the frogs get in that oven? Can I tell you, in Bible times, they had a hole in the ground. They would have a cover upon it, and they cooked in the ground. Could you imagine the morning coming, pulling that stove lid back, and he said, we went down to Walmart Saturday. Then you preachers need a message, just go down Walmart. But anyway, I went down the bread aisle and I looked and they had cinnamon bread. I was looking for some blueberry bread. You know, they say it's healthy. I've been on a diet since New Year. Shaking the back of his head up and down. I noticed there was raisin bread, but you'd be surprised at people tonight that's eating frog bread. I mean, see, like everything that died, it's cursed, and God has brought a plague upon it. And I don't know about you, I don't want to get tired of hearing the frogs, I get tired of eating frogs.
I am. Amen. Yes, sir.
Sort of like eating crow. The more you chew it, the bigger it gets. Like an old cheap steak. If it can't swallow, it's got to spit it out on the table. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But you notice within this conflict, these frogs came. They were very numerous. They came in all areas. Could you imagine every place in your house there was frogs? Every place you went, there was frogs. That's the conflict. They were numerous. They were noisome. They were nauseous. You know, sin is so sickening. You ever notice anybody that started playing with sin, the older they got, they stayed in sin? How it absolutely destroyed them.
Yes, sir.
You look at the people in Hollywood. They're young and they're rich and they're out serving with all their frogs. And when they get my age, they look about 97 and a half.
That's right.
You say, preacher, how old are you? Ain't none of your business. You say, preacher, you look older than what you are. Well, you ought to ride around in the car with me all year. Amen. But I'm saying sin. Sin is so destructive. And it comes in our lives not to help us, but to hurt us.
Right.
Conflicts. But look at verse 9. It's the confronting. Confronting. Now, I don't know how long that Pharaoh laid with these frogs, but a couple hours is long enough. And in this confronting, I want you to watch your Bible tonight. I want you to be a Bible Christian. You preachers all learn to preach a Bible text. Verse 9, the confronting. So Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. I want you to notice, first of all, the meekness in this confronting. Can I tell you, Jesus was meek, but he was not weak.
Right.
Jesus was meek and lowly. He had a great meekness about him. Matter of fact, Moses was one of the meekest men that God ever created. Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me. You know what he just said? Have honor over me, Pharaoh. I'm not trying to take over you. Have honor over me and direct me. You know what he's saying, Pharaoh? I'm here to help you, bud. You know what your preacher, many people of God, when they confront you, they're not there to harm you or hurt you or keep you to the curb. They're there to help you.
Amen.
Why would God give me a message like this on a Tuesday night in a revival? There's so many other things that I could preach. But God knows we need this text tonight.
Amen.
And I want you to notice this, the confronting. There's the meekness, but then look at the mercy in verse 9. When shall I entreat for thee? It's your decision, Pharaoh. Young person, can I tell you, it's your decision.
Right.
Mom and daddy's, the ball's in your court. It's your decision. You see, I'm glad I've got a God. When I am disobedient, he don't leave me alone, but he confronts my sin.
Amen.
Be sure your sin will find you out.
Yes,
this confronting, we see the meekness of confronting and the mercy of confronting. But I've seen something here this evening in verse 9. There's the mediation of confronting. Here's a type of Christ in our Bible. Look what he says. He says in verse 9, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and thy people? The mediation, what are you talking about? Well, I want to read this verse tonight. I sure am glad that Jesus is our mediator tonight.
Amen.
We don't need a pope. We don't need a Baptist preacher. We need Jesus.
Amen.
And there's one of the greatest passages that I want to share with you in the Word of God tonight about this mediation. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That's everybody, God.
Amen.
And to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one, here's our word, one mediator.
between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, amen, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
Amen. You see, in this confronting, there was meekness. There was mercy. But there was mediation. I'm glad in my sin, the Lord came to me and said, Ken, I can help you in your situation.
Yes, sir.
You know, a lot of times in our life, we want to try to fool everybody. In years gone by, I lived a lifestyle I fooled a lot of people. But I tell you somebody I didn't fool, and that's the God that wrote this Bible tonight. The confronting. But now I want you to see not only the confronting, but in verse 10, the contentment. The contentment. In Exodus 8 and verse 10, Moses said, can I go to God for you? It's what Jesus says, by the way. He took a survey in America tonight that tell you many roads lead to heaven. This Bible says there's one way to heaven.
That's right.
And that's by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our great high priest. He said, preacher, what does that really mean? It means, as our mediator, that Christ, if you trust Him, He'll reach and get a hold of you, and He'll reach a hold of God, and He would bring you to Him.
Amen. Amen.
Glad there's a mediation. Amen. Glad He's concerned about me. By the way, did you know He's concerned about you?
Amen.
So here in this conflict, in this confronting, there's a contentment. Moses said, would you have me to get God to stop these frogs? And He said this. When I read it, some of you thought, no doubt, just like I did, He said, yeah, tomorrow. Can I ask you something tonight? Why would you want to stay the way you are tonight, taking a chance on tomorrow?
Right.
Good. Why would it be in your life that God would help you tonight and you say, not tonight, tomorrow?
You see, this contentment, the decision was descriptive. It was disturbing. And it was quite destructive. I was reminded this evening, as I was putting this sermon together, there was some Bible characters that
Felix said to Paul. He said, don't you consider Christ? He said, when I have more of a convenient time, putting off today what God wanted him to do tomorrow. And then you remember not only about Felix, but there was King Agrippa. Paul said, surely thou believest. And he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.
Let me ask you something. There's nothing in our Bible tells me and you that we have tomorrow. The contentment. Why are you content living with the frogs?
About 30 years ago, God gave me this sermon. I was fighting a trial in my life. And I'm not here to beat you, nor bash you, or to embarrass you. I just want to tell you a time in my life. was pastoring in Lionel, Alabama, right across the line in Georgia. And I loved, don't nobody look at him, I preach it, I love Copenhagen. I love it. God is dealing with me about it. And listen, you might use it and God don't deal with you about it. That's between you and God. I'm telling you, I was being disobedient. This thing's a frog in my life. Everywhere I turn. And at that time we had an 80-something model town car. You know, the hood's on them things as long as a choir loft. I pulled that thing up and nosed that church and had a deacon's wife. She as tall as that light pitch. We just got that new car and was proud of it. She opened that door and I preached that sermon about a Sunday ago. Brother Brian, she slid in behind the wheel of that big old town car and she looked kind of slow. I'll never forget what that woman done. She picked that can up and stood outside the car and she looked like she was hanging out on one of them pine trees. She said, "Oh, I found the preacher's frog." I'm like a slid on that car. That embarrassed the fire. Do you know sometimes God embarrass you?
That's right.
Shake your baby's head up and down tonight. I'm not preaching in the motel room. I'm down here in the house of God. I'm just telling you, God will embarrass you on Sunday. I wonder what it'd be in your life God's dealing with you about. Could it be anger? Oh, bitter spirit. I had a grandpa raise me when I was about 11 years old. He opened up a pouch, chewed the back of it to me, and I ain't got over it yet, somebody say.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, my life.
I got to thank him. Brother Brian, that young man, his wife sat by you tonight. Dang relate to this in Louisiana. I was down there preaching. Brother Rusty's son, Brother Caleb in Patterson, Louisiana. It's South Louisiana, where the swamp is. I was up preaching one night in a big way, and of course it don't take you too long to listen to me and figure out I'm from the country. There's a fella coming out, certainly said, "Preacher, they said you're a country boy. You country boy?" I said, "Yeah, I was raised in the country." He said, "You want to go frogging?" Frog gig and I was a ball now. Yeah. He said, "Tell what you do, you get on preaching tomorrow night, I'll come pick you up at the motel. You be ready up at church." I got stuff ready. We went down the swamp. I've never seen nothing like that. We backed in. He reached behind the boat seat and he grabbed a helmet, plugged it into his back. He said, "Put that on, preacher." I put this helmet on, had a light shining everywhere. And y'all, I'm telling you the gospel truth, when that light hit that river, those red eyes went up, them gators was everywhere. I said, "Well, I'll ask you something," I said. Where's the frog gig or the gun? He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "How am I going to get the frogs?" He said, "Oh, you're going to catch them with your hand." So I got on the bow of that boat. I said, "How do I know the difference between a gator and a frog?" He said, "Oh, you'll see the frog." He said, "It'll be shining," sitting up on the bank, showing up. Then he said, "See any young preacher?" Man's a big. He said, "I get on the bow of my boat." He said, "I'm going to ease you up to that bank." And said, "You'll catch every one of them in this swamp if you won't let that light off up." Brother John, that light just shined there, set that big frog. He said, "Oh." Now I reached and I grabbed him, mashed him on that, and he was so big, y'all, he pulled back on me like a squirrel. I noticed my frogs love to pull back on me. We got them frogs. Whenever he went to his house that night, skinned him, got back on the airplane, brought them frog legs back home. I don't know if any of y'all really from the country or not, but if you ever clean a frog, put him in a skillet, he still wants to jump even though he's dead. I'm preaching tonight.
Even though some things in my life I've got took care of, they still kick every morning.
Right. Yes, sir.
Still kick. And I've noticed when God shines a light on things, He lets me see stuff that only that light will find. Not your light. But the light from the Word of God. When God says something, there's a light that turns on in my soul.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know about you, but I sure do want to mind Him tonight. And I end this sermon with this point. Preaching on one more night with the frogs. Not only the conflict and the confronting and the contentment, but look at the conclusion, and don't you never forget this in verse number 12. Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And here it is. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. I'm going to tell you something. You may get rid of some things, but there are some repercussions of having. God may have saved you one night, but you'll notice the repercussions of sin goes a long way down the road. That's why you young people don't need to be playing in sin.
Yes.
Mom and Dad, that's why we need to be as scared of sin as a rattlesnake.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what were the repercussions in this conclusion? First of all, there was a reaping. Look in verse 14. And they gathered them together. Did you know the Bible tells us that we reap what we sow?
Sure does.
A lot of people that I've pastored through the years and even pastor now, they say, "Preacher, I'm so tired of all this going." And I say, "Well, why don't you just get right with God?"
Right. Amen.
Wouldn't it be great to have a frog gig tonight? I mean, really, in our lives. If we're just really honest, I'm talking about some things that would disobey God, some things that God's not pleased with in our life. Wouldn't it be great if we would get Him to take care of them?
Right.
I used to say this a lot before I got saved. Tomorrow. I want to be saved. My dad said, "Why would you not be saved tonight?" There's been three songs sung about Calvary. This young lady, this man sang two songs of Calvary. This young lady got up and sang last about Calvary. Can I tell you, Jesus paid the price for you?
Yes, He did.
Secondly, on this conclusion, not only is there a reaping, but look in verse 14, there's a heaping. They gathered them together upon heaps. You know when things pile up, and I'm going to tell you, Mom and Dad, something tonight. Just because you live for God and love for God don't mean that bad things don't happen.
Right.
But I'm glad we've got somebody to go through it with us tonight.
Yeah.
Man. Not only are you seeing this conclusion, His decision brought a reaping. If I walk in a place and see something devastated in my family, God help me that it's not because of a decision that I've made. There's a reaping. There's a heaping. But lastly, there's a stinking. They pile them up and stink. Sin, I get to smell them bad.
Right.
Oh, I know some of you now, you enjoy sin. Let me tell you, this flesh will enjoy sin for a season.
That's right.
Sin's fun.
It's for a season.
The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This flesh loves sin. But I can't do what I used to do before very long. Somebody's living in
it. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Can I ask y'all something? Just to be real honest with y'all that old in the Lord. Where would we all be tonight if God hadn't saved us?
Mm.
Why could we ever be judgmental of somebody that would come in that's had a life laden with sin? How can we ever point a finger, especially when they come to the altar, and some of us want to say, well, they're getting just what they deserve. I wonder what we deserve.
Right, right.
I mean, really, at the end of the day, what do me and you really deserve? Well, you know, I much want music tonight.
Of course.
You've got to play, man. I'm going to ask you something. This is revival. And this is the only way that I know to tell you to get some help is to get honest with yourself and bring it to the Lord.
Right.
So, preacher, if I come down there, what will people think? The altar ought to be packed tonight.
Amen. That's right.
Maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord that you've not went as far as Pharaoh did. Maybe you're struggling with some things that God has told you out of the Word of God. Ask Him to give you grace and help tonight. Let me tell you, there's help at the cross.
That's right, man.
There's some people here that love you and help you. Young people. God means what He said. Older people, God meant what He said. Boy, it don't take long. You start living in sin and start stinking on it. I'm going to say this and I'm done. I married one of the greatest ladies God ever gave me. Married 40 years. I come up with many things I'm ashamed of. Got around the wrong crowd. As I told you last night, as I started doing those things, when I wanted to leave them alone, they wouldn't leave me alone. My wife made a decision. She was going to pray. She had asked me to quit. She had begged me to quit. All she knew was it was going to take God. My wife had got to the end of her rope, our children, little bitty things. Now come home one day. I'll never forget, I went in the washroom to my golf bag. I had some stuff here and there, and I pulled it out, and Renee came out the door. But I said, honey, look what God has let me do. And I took that weed and I poured it out in my shrubbery, and she broke. She said, Ken, I've been praying for you like I've never prayed. What are you saying? I'm saying God came to where I was.
Amen.
It helped me with the things of this world I have to be cleansed with.
Yeah.
Thank you, God.
God can help you tonight if you'd be honest. Now would you pray? Oh, there's something down our altar. You need some help? Would you come? I'm trying to share my heart with you this evening. You need some help in your life? Come. God want you to do anything? Is He giving you a word in your life? Then trust Him. And realize He's always right. And there's nothing too big for Him. But you've got to trust Him with it. I don't know why you would want to sit here another night. Lost without Christ. I don't know why you would want to wake up in the morning in the same lifestyle. When God has given you a word tonight,
to trust Him. That Christ would be a mediator for you in your life. Would you come to Jesus? He loves you. Lost person, would you come to Christ by faith? The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. Would you trust Jesus to save you? Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not? Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not? I'm so glad I can go back and throw them covers back. Wake up in the morning, birds are singing instead of frogs are hollering. Help us, Lord. Help these lives. Help our home.
It's been good to be here tonight. Well, God's good to us. God's so good to us. And I'm glad that Bible will help you like He's talking about tonight. Putting a light on them frogs, the things that we need to give back to God. And you know, it wasn't no throwing stones tonight. We've all got sin in our life. Everybody sins. But it's about making things right with God. It says if we'll confess that He's faithful and just to forgive us. I'm thankful for the promises of God. Man, it's good to be here tonight. Thank you for being here tonight. Don't forget, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, come back, invite somebody. It'll be the last night of revival. So, you come back. Anything to be said before we dismiss? All right, let's all stand together. We will ask our ladies, if they will, to please.